This is Optimus Prime, and you are listening to The Masters of None.
Masters of None.
There's another podcast out there called Masters of None. Check them out. They're very funny guys.
Craft Radio.
This is Weird Al Yankovic, and you're listening to Masters of None.
A comedy podcast that doesn't suck.
Masters of None.
We talk about and debate the best and worst of pop culture, man. Interview celebs and often make offensive jokes.
This is a comedy podcast that they say doesn't suck.
Okay.
Masters of None.
Brought to you by the Simply Syndicated Network, lubricated by Blue Point Beer, and live on morelikeradio.com.
Yeah, this is Mo the Bartender, and you're listening to the Masters of None. He's the only guy to come into Mo's Tavern and ask for a craft beer and not a duff. Bunch of jerks.
Everybody, it's Mike from Masters of None, and we take a break from our regularly scheduled programming, which is usually talking about the greatest superhero costume of all time. And we're taking a break, and we're gonna be talking a little serious. Okay, it's just me here from our usual trio, Art and Jay, but I am talking with the man himself, Simply Syndicated Godfather, Rich Smith. What's up, buddy?
Hi, how you doing?
And we are going to be talking about the British referendum vote. The Brexit, which I kind of refuse to say because I hate those little catchy phrases that they make for things.
It goes through me like nails on a chalkboard,
right?
That word.
Isn't it just
I can't say it out loud.
Isn't it just ridiculous? I hate that. It's the thing over here that they do where they add the word gate to anything. You know, where it's like Watergate, you know, pocketbook gate, whatever.
Yeah.
it's ridiculous. So I kind of wanted to, you know, a lot has been going on. Things have been freaking nuts over the past week already. And I kind of wanted to get a firsthand opinion and just an idea of what exactly all of this means now and for the years to come, the months and years to come, for not only Britain, but for the rest of the European Union, as well as something that I really don't think, obviously, that a lot of people around here in America think about is what complications does this create for us? And believe me, there are some. So, Rich, first of all, how you doing, man? You okay? Everything all right?
I am so stressed out. I feel like, I don't know. It's been like we've been at war.
Yeah.
The last couple of months. And everybody's just really tired and fed up. And we've had enough of it. And that stupid word. And everything that goes with it.
Yeah.
And we've just been... this country has never, ever been so divided on an issue. We don't have this. It's much more of a common thing we see in American politics, like ban the guns, don't ban the guns.
Yeah.
You guys have a lot of very polarizing issues that you deal with. We generally don't. The biggest disagreements in British politics is what amount of money goes on what pile. That's it. And then suddenly we're given an issue like, should we do this, yes or no? And everybody sort of jumped and went, I didn't think you'd actually ask us. Oh, what should we do? And then every politician started sort of lying and making stuff up and exaggerating and annoying everybody. And eventually we ended up voting to leave the European Union.
So,
which is just astounding.
That's it is insane to think that, you know, you're involved with something for decades and a couple of people, you know, raise a couple of points, and all of a sudden you want a divorce. You know, it's insane. It's pretty crazy. So, but let's go to the beginning, because I apologize that more people here and around the world aren't as educated when it comes to what exactly happened. First of all, and your own country had this. This was a big thing. The next day, people Googling what is the EU. You know, what? Why is it bad if we leave? Like all these things, the top Google searches in England. So how about you clue them in, man? What's the EU? Why? What happened? What? How did this all come about?
Why the hell would anybody do what we've just done?
Yeah,
it's the obvious question. Why the hell would you do that? right. So My entire life, Europe has never been an issue. Not an issue. Normal people don't give a second thought to the EU. Never have. It just didn't happen. No one cared, except for a few people on the extreme right of life who just hate everything foreign and all that and just didn't like the EU for various reasons. And during the last general election a year ago, David Cameron was very worried that he wouldn't get enough votes, that the Conservative Party wouldn't get enough votes. And so what he tried to do was appeal to these few outlying people to try and bring them over to voting for him by saying, if we get into power, we'll have a referendum on the EU. Now, he never actually thought that would happen. He thought what would happen is they'd get just enough votes to go into a coalition government with another party, the Liberal Democrats, who would then obviously, as the more sensible party, say, no, we're not having an EU referendum. We stopped David Cameron. And he could do his all, see, look how the Liberal Democrats are ruining my policies and things. It was going to be great. but then he won.
It's a little bit of a backfire.
And no one, it was like, oh, right. And you also thought I said that we should have a referendum. And so, shit. Okay, so then we
I guess we
had a referendum. But no one ever thought we'd do it. And then all the way through, no one actually thought we'd vote to leave.
Right.
Everyone is so surprised.
Yeah. And now you're waking up with, what was it? Was it 52%? 51%?
Yeah, it was something like 51.8% to 48.2%. Two or something like that,
which is an amazing outcome because of how divided it was. I mean, literally one out of every two people that you probably talk to in the street had a different opinion, yes or no, right?
Yeah,
and
that's it.
And it, you know, I kind of want to get a sense of what England is, like how England is as a demographic, let's say, you know. Are the outlying cities closer to the coast? Those are the more liberal, progressive areas.
How does it work?
Explain to me how England's kind of chopped up.
Well, London would be massively multicultural, open-minded, happy, wonderful utopia of loveliness.
Uh-huh.
And then sort of the further you get away from that, it sort of gets bleaker and bleaker and bleaker.
Okay.
Until you end in the far north of England or Cornwall at the other end, and it just gets a bit grim and people have become a bit more isolated and that bit more cut off, and it sort of goes that way. And we've been in an unfortunate position of having a Conservative government for the last God knows how long. It feels like forever. And their policy is basically, can't we hurt the poor people? Can we do that? Okay. Yeah. That's their policy. So the whole north of England is so poor. There's high unemployment, low opportunity. Everything's just been wiped out. And then we have the austerity. So we're not spending on public services. The NHS is underfunded. Education is underfunded. All kinds of things are underfunded.
Right.
Because we've got to save money for some reason. And so you've got a lot of very discontent, unhappy people in the north of England. And they took this opportunity to sort of stick it to the government.
Right.
So they thought, like, I'm just going to do what the establishment doesn't want me to do by voting leave. And they never thought for a second, what will that actually mean? You know, they didn't think, I'm actually shooting myself in the foot by doing this.
Yeah.
So that's what they did. That's how it's played out. Scotland's a lot better. They voted entirely to remain in the EU. And they're now talking about another independence referendum to break away from the United Kingdom. Northern Ireland are doing the same. They're talking about, they want a referendum to reunite Northern Ireland and Ireland together.
Wow.
So we could end up with the UK being just England and Wales, just this little bit of a rock somewhere that you might trip over on your way to Europe.
So, I mean, it's wild. It's wild how something like this can cause other dominoes to fall like that. You know, a joined Ireland is something that, you know, people have, you know, it's been a pipe dream for some people for a long time. And then, never, you know, some people thought it would never happen. And this is a valid possibility now. Scotland gaining its independence, same thing. You know, it's a valid possibility now, especially since the last vote was actually pretty close. It was the last vote to be independent was actually pretty close, and this could just drive them over the edge if they vote again.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So why is the EU, again, I apologize for these five-year-old questions, but I want to make sure that anybody listening to this that isn't in the know gets at least some information, because you get a lot of hearsay and conjecture with people. I just like hearing it from somebody that's actually there. I don't like hearing it from somebody who read a lot of books. You know what I mean? I don't care.
Yeah, yeah.
Why is the EU, in your eyes, such a big deal? Like, why is it imperative? For the people that voted to stay, why did you want to stay?
It's the list of benefits of being in the EU is enormous. It's just enormous. I mean, you've got security, financial security, free trade zones, freedom of movement of people, just all kinds of things. We could be here all day.
Yeah.
Just listing all the good things.
I think one of the things that jumped out at me right away when I was looking at, you know, this question is just what you said, as far as, you know, being able to just come and go as you please. It's not, you know, people don't realize that European countries are very close together. You know, we live here in the United States. The United States is a giant country, and, you know, the freedom to go from state to state is something that's great, but we're all still under the same country. This is literally thinking about going from country to country without having to deal with passports and background checks and all this kind of crap, that you can just freely come and go as you please, because you're all part of the same union. That's the, you know, to put it in another term, it's the United States of Europe in a way, you know what I mean?
In a way, that very term you've just said is something that was played up on the as part of the propaganda for the leaving people, was the idea that Europe wants us to be a country, and we'll just totally lose being Great Britain altogether, and we'll become just a state in the United States of Europe.
Right. Now that was there. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, though, but their propaganda was pushed more towards financial and economic reasons, not social freedoms like I'm talking about when it comes to travel. And heck, you know, I was watching some interviews with some people that, you know, they've had kids in two different countries, and now with this it's like, what happens? What do? Does one kid just go away? Like, what happens? You know?
Yeah, well, I think everybody, you know, I don't think anybody's going to be deported, whatever happens. I think we're all good there. But yeah, it's that freedom of movement. But that was actually something that was massively played up on by the Leave side. This fear of immigration. Immigrants are coming. You've heard it. They took our jobs.
Yeah.
All this stuff.
Yeah.
That's all it was. We had Nigel Farage unveiling a poster that literally was a copy of Nazi propaganda.
Yes.
Like not even close. If you saw a side-by-side photo, the only difference was his was in color. that was it. incidents of racial abuse have skyrocketed over the weekend. That's been something terrible. Like a 57% increase in reports of racial incidents throughout the country.
Now, it's interesting you say that. I want to play a clip here. This is David Cameron addressing Parliament, which, by the way, one positive note out of this is that we as Americans get to see the Baptist Church of Governments in the British Parliament, and the hooting and hollering that goes on. I fucking love it. I love watching that. I'm sorry. It's very tribal.
I love it too. Don't worry. I love it too.
But this is David Cameron talking about just exactly what you said.
Mr. Speaker, let me set out for the House what this vote means, the steps we're taking immediately to stabilise the UK economy, the preparatory work for negotiation to leave the EU, our plans for fully engaging the devolved administrations, and the next steps at tomorrow's European Council. Mr. Speaker, the British people have voted to leave the European Union. It was not the result I wanted, nor the outcome that I believe is best for the country I love. But there can be no doubt about the result. Of course, I don't take back what I said about the risks. It is going to be difficult. We've already seen that there are going to be adjustments within our economy, complex constitutional issues, and challenging new negotiation to undertake with Europe. But I am clear, and the Cabinet agreed this morning, that the decision must be accepted and the process of implementing the decision in the best possible way must now begin. Yeah. At the same time, Mr. Speaker, we have a fundamental responsibility to bring our country together. In the past few days, we've seen despicable graffiti daubed on a Polish community centre. We've seen verbal abuse hurled against individuals because they're members of ethnic minorities. Let's remember these people have come here and made a wonderful contribution to our country. We will not stand for hate crime or these kinds of attacks. They must be stamped out.
So there you go. David Cameron talking about exactly what you're talking about. The rise in hate crimes against immigrants of any country.
Yeah.
In England. And that's insane. That's insane to me.
We are equal opportunity xenophobes. We don't care where you're from. We hate you.
Yeah.
That's generally what has come out here. We don't care if you're black, white, brown, yellow, green, purple. We hate you. Are you British? No. You suck.
Yeah.
That's our attitude.
So let me ask you this. Do you feel that is something that's really just kind of been under the skin of a lot of people for a long time, and this is just now their excuse to get it out? Like, do you think England is secretly just a straight up racist country? I mean, it's hard to say that. I think, you know, because I think
I think we're not. I think we have racist people, but I think you can go anywhere and find racist people.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
I think what this recent situation has done is given those people some sort of license to be dicks, basically. racism is not an acceptable thing in this country. It's just not.
Yeah.
I'm saying this as a white guy in the north of England. I didn't meet a brown person until I left for college.
Sure.
You know, that's what it's like. But we are not a racist country. Our national dish is curry.
Beautiful.
And it's just ridiculous that we have any problem with immigrants whatsoever, because we're a nation of immigrants. We're a mongrel nation. There is no British to speak of. We're a mix of so many different ethnicities. It's just crazy. And so I think this has always been there, but it died down. It went away.
Mm.
But it's coming back because there's a lot of very unhappy people.
Yeah, and it seems to be that the Leave movement and Farage and is it UKIP?
UK. Yeah,
yeah. They've like you said, they've led the charge in this propaganda that has been very plainly compared to Nazi propaganda, and as well as just this underlying, you know, underlying promises of exactly what you said, you know, £350 million going to the NHS now, which. I want to play this clip, which was all over the place the next day. I woke up, learned that you guys leaving the European Union, and then the next link I found was this.
£350 million a week we send to the EU, which we will no longer send to the EU. Can you guarantee that's going to go to the NHS?
No, I can't, and I would never have made that claim. That was one of the mistakes I think that the Leave campaign made.
Hang on a moment. That was one of your adverts.
Well, it wasn't one of my adverts, I can assure
you. Well, that was one of the Leave campaign's adverts, that money was going to go to the NHS.
And I think they made a mistake.
That's why many people have voted.
They made a mistake in doing that. But what I can tell you is we have a nice...
After 17 million people have voted for Leave,
yeah.
Based... I don't know how many people voted on the basis of that advert, but that was a huge part of the propaganda... You're now saying that's a mistake.
We have a £10 billion a year, a £34 million a day feather bed that is going to be free money that we can spend on the NHS, on schools, or whatever it is.
But you're not guaranteeing that money, as promised, will go to the NHS.
You must understand, I was ostracised by the official Leave campaign and did my, and as I've always done, did my own thing.
Do you think there are other things that people will wake up this morning and find out aren't going to happen as a result of voting this way?
Well, I tell you what they will find out, that we're back to being a normal country, in charge of our own laws, and able to start making our own relationships with the rest of the world, maybe even re-engaging with the Commonwealth.
That was Nigel Farage on Good Morning Britain. And first of all, who's the woman? Who's the journalist there?
She's...
She's not a journalist. She's a presenter.
Whatever she is.
I don't even know her name. She's just the woman who does Good Morning Britain. It's on way too early for me.
Of course. Fantastic job by her, by the way, because she interrupts him immediately, says, well, hold up a second. This was like your main, you know, soapbox point here, which was you're going to give all this money to the NHS, and now you're saying no. And then and then he goes on and does some spin, and then the silence, the silence, the pregnant pause that she lets just hang there is amazing. It's my favorite part of the entire clip. This guy who John Oliver quoted as having the cover model of Punchable Face Weekly.
Yeah. Oh man, you just want to punch him.
Which was a great line.
Just one of those faces. You look at him, you're thinking about punching him and what that would feel like.
This guy just, again, as she said, 17 million people voted to leave.
Yeah.
And he goes hours after it's over. He says, no, that's probably not going to happen. Never mind. Sorry about that.
But it was all based on lies. Right, it was all based on lies, and what they managed to do was tap into emotion rather than thought. It was all about take our country back, take control, chest beating stuff. You're seeing exactly the same thing with Donald Trump.
Yes,
the Make America Great Again.
I'll talk about that in a little bit, but yes.
Yeah, Make America Great Again. I'm not going to say how I'm going to do it. I've definitely got a plan, but I can't share with you now.
Right,
but we're going to do that. It's all that shit. And what was happening when we were discrediting what they were saying, it was dismissed as scaremongering and lying, and you're just part of the establishment. And so you couldn't get through to anyone. This idea that this money that we send to Europe, so we send them £350 million a week, roughly. That is true. We get that's not true. We get more than that back. We pay about £9 billion a year. In 2014 alone, we got about £90 billion back. But it comes in the form of subsidies and grants, and it gets, you know, put into things decided upon by people in Europe, who are incidentally British and elected by us. But that was another thing people couldn't get their head around. And so now, just because we're not giving that money to Europe doesn't mean it's free money. We've got to replace all the money that was coming back from Europe in subsidies and grants and other things. So it's not free money. It's already gone. It's already spent. It can't go into anything.
Right.
We have to replace money that was coming back. So it was just an outright lie. They wrote it in big letters on the side of a bus and drove it around the country for a month. So, you know.
Oh, my God.
The another thing you might not have come across was a similar clip to the one you just played with a different leave a person saying, yeah, we're not really going to cut immigration either, which was the second big thing.
Right.
Like, we want to cut immigration and get this money back from the EU. It's like, yeah, that about that.
Yeah.
We're not going to be able to do that, I'm afraid. We can't really cut immigration. And it turns out immigrants are actually quite good for us. So, sorry. So many people are pissed off, and rightly so. Nigel Farage is not a person that should be listened to.
So
at all.
Yeah, and this guy has been catapulted into the global spotlight since the Leave vote. But I don't think a lot of people have even heard his name until this has happened outside of England. Who is he? Why is he such a big deal? And I was watching the EU Parliament proceedings after the leave.
Yeah, with his little bloody flag.
Yeah, and somebody, who is it? The one president says, "Why are you even here? Why are you here now?"
Yeah,
well, was great.
Yeah.
So who is he?
Nigel Farage. The Irish have a word. It's gobshite.
Gobshite.
And I think that adequately describes Nigel Farage. To be clear, he is not a politician. He is not a member of parliament. He has not won an election to represent people. He is the leader of a political party, and that means nothing. I could do that this afternoon, legally. It means nothing.
Mm.
He's just someone who is very good at spouting off crap and getting himself put on television. And up until this referendum, he was that outlier. He was a crazy person. He still is, and that's why you heard on that clip he was saying he'd been ostracized by the official Leave camp. So we had the way it works is there were several groups campaigning for Remain or Leave, and the government had to select one group from each side to be the official Leave and Remain group so that they could have electoral laws applied to them and that kind of thing. And the official Leave camp was made up of actual politicians who have to win elections and be popular with people, and they didn't want to be seen on television stood being friends with Nigel Farage. So they just told him to piss off and do your own thing. Go away. You are not standing next to us. People will see. No. And so he just went off and did his own thing. He was just financed by people who were in the BNP, which is sort of like, it's kind of like being endorsed by the Klan, really. And they gave him 6 million quid to go and piss away on Nazi propaganda posters and that kind of thing. And now people are pretending that he's done something, but he's not. He's just a loud person.
Yeah, and this guy, along with the former mayor of London, Boris Johnson, is his name?
Yeah, Boris Johnson.
Boris Johnson, they've now become the faces of this Leave movement, which Boris Johnson also has a very less than flowery reputation.
He's something rather special.
Yeah, explain him. Explain his story a little bit.
Right. Boris DeFeffel Johnson.
DeFeffel.
Yes, that's his name.
Love it.
He has been friends with David Cameron since they were at Eton together. There's a very famous picture of them at university together that keeps being trotted up on the news and that kind of thing. And one can't help but feel that he might hate David Cameron's guts with the passion of a thousand suns, because David got to be prime minister and Boris didn't.
Yeah.
And so when this referendum came up, Boris Johnson, who is a very outspoken European person, he's even written a book on how awesome the EU actually is. He's written and presented television programs about how important Europe is to us. But suddenly he decided it was time for us to leave. It made no sense. Until you figured out that what would happen if we lost the referendum was David Cameron would have to resign, and that would mean we have to have a new leader of the Conservative Party who would then become Prime Minister, and that would most likely be Boris Johnson. So Boris Johnson wasn't really campaigning to leave the EU. He was campaigning for David Cameron to resign so he could have a go at being Prime Minister. And now we've voted to leave, it looks like that is precisely what's happening.
Wow. Wow.
That's what it was for.
That's incredible. That's incredible. Yeah. It's like a very more boring Game of Thrones.
But again, it is. It's like an incredibly boring Game of Thrones. But again, he didn't really think it was going to happen.
Yeah.
And you can find a clip of him on the internet. It's actually been posted to Pornhub with the title,
oh, yes, I saw
Long
that.
Dumb Fucks 15 Million People. Which is genius.
That. Yeah.
But he looks like a man who just wants to say, oh, gosh, I didn't really mean it.
Yeah.
Oh, and David Cameron has played a blinding move, because he always said, if we vote to leave, I will invoke Article 50 immediately and we'll be out of the EU. Invoking Article 50 is like Article 50 is the official declaration that you're going to leave the EU.
Right.
Because technically we haven't yet. We're still as European as we were a month ago.
Execute Order 66, basically.
It's exactly like that. And so what he did was, he came out, said, do you know what? I didn't think we should leave, so I don't think I'm the person to invoke Article 50. I should resign and leave, and then whoever comes in next should be the one to invoke Article 50. And that made Boris Johnson absolutely shit himself. He basically said, I know I said I'd put the gun to our head and pull the trigger, but no, you're going to have to do that, Boris. Well, let's see how well it goes, because really, we know you know this is a bad idea and didn't think it was going to happen. Whoever becomes the next leader of the Conservative Party is screwed.
Yeah.
They are just screwed.
So that's
the end of their career.
It's
because they have to do that.
That is an incredible move, because it has to be on their watch, on their books, that they were the one that invoked this article 50.
Yep.
And
yep.
in the annals of history, David Cameron will go down as the person that did not exit them from, from the European Union. It's very, it's interesting. It's a sly move.
I mean, I hate the man, but I was impressed by that. Yeah. I that was a smart move. you do it, bitch. Yeah. No, I'm going on holiday. Bye, Boris.
And David Cameron, in that same address to Parliament, he spoke of some of the. They you know, once it got accepted, he really kind of, his whole speech was like, hey, all right, we lost, you know, it's not the way I want to go, but here's how we have to do this responsibly, and we have to respect the will of the people, and so on and so forth. This is a little clip. He talks about trying to set people's minds at ease, because the financial world was turned upside down that day. I watched the stock market live as it opened, and it plummeted 500
It was quite
points.
Impressive.
It was.
By the time I went to bed, it was literally like 1983 around here.
Yeah.
It was amazing.
Yeah, plummeted 500 points within minutes. But David Cameron talked a little bit about just kind of setting people's minds at ease about England's economy. Here you go.
The financial system is also substantially more resilient than it was 6 years ago, with capital requirements for the largest banks now 10 times higher than before the banking crisis. The markets may not have been expecting the referendum result, but as the Chancellor set out this morning, the Treasury, the Bank of England and our other financial authorities have spent the last few months putting in place robust contingency plans. As the Governor of the Bank of England said on Friday, the bank stress tests have shown that UK institutions have enough capital and liquidity reserves to withstand a scenario more severe than the country currently faces.
So is he right? Is that just putting a Band-Aid on a broken arm?
Oh, things are going to get dramatically worse.
Yeah.
Things are just going to get absolutely dire here. That was the beginning. By, you know, for people who haven't experienced this, I actually buy a lot of things in dollars. It's a way of getting things more cheaply. Mm. A week ago, I was getting, I think, $1.64 for every pound. And last night, I bought something in dollars and got $1.23 for every pound.
Wow.
And that was in the space of 4 days. It's only going down. Whether it ever gets back up to where it is, I'm doubtful. But I'm not an economist. I don't know. Something, we might not go through with it. We might not pull the trigger on this. Mm. There is a road to that happening.
Really?
There is a possibility that could still happen. I'm not holding my breath, but I think the legal requirements are that, first of all, the referendum is legally an advisement of the people to the government. It means nothing. We don't have to do what it says. The government is still the government and can do what it wants. So now they actually have to repeal certain laws and have a vote on various things, and these things could not go through. Mm. It's still entirely possible that we wouldn't leave the EU, in which case things might return to where they were. But again, like I said, I'm not holding my breath.
So what what happens now? What are the actual real-life short-term effects? And what are the realistic long-term effects? Because I know a lot of people, the word that gets thrown around CNN, here and all over is uncertainty. There's a lot of uncertainty. We can't predict what's going to happen. We can't predict. It might not be that bad, or it's the fucking end of the world. Everybody run for your goddamn lives. It's never in between. But as somebody that, again, that's going to live it, that has seen it over the course of a week, I know it's a short period of time, but there are certain things that when they happen, you go, okay, I know this is going to happen. I can see it. You can see the writing on the wall. So what are the short-term effects? What are real-life short-term effects? And what do you believe are the realistic long-term effects of something of this happening?
Well, the short-term effects are government has basically totally collapsed. I mean, we've got people in working, doing a governmental job, but the Conservative Party has all but collapsed. You know, they're now going to be fighting over who gets to be the leader. The Labour Party, who are the opposition, are in a similar situation. They've all rebelled against their leader, Jeremy Corbyn, and are trying to get him to resign, which he's refusing to do. so politics in general has fallen through the floor in terms of the respect it has from people, that sort of thing. Short term, we're seeing much more upset and stress and worry in people, all the racial attacks, that kind of thing. Medium term, I think we'll see another Scottish referendum. I think that might well eventually happen. I can see them waiting till 2020 to really let Scottish people get really pissed off with all of this and to see how it goes. We might have a general election before the end of the year because a new prime minister will really have to do something to cement his or her position as prime minister by basically holding a general election and hopefully being elected again. So again, even who takes over David Cameron's job might be prime minister for 8 weeks. You know, it's really not a job anybody wants to touch. It's the kiss of death for your political career right now. No one wants that job. And so, yeah, we might see a change in government. I don't know which way that would go because we're so fractured with so many different parties now. And I haven't looked at any news for a couple of hours. We might have a breakaway Labour Party.
Wow.
From all the... Right, the problem is Jeremy Corbyn, the leader of the Labour Party, all the members of the party, including myself, want him to be the leader of the party. All the members of the party who are MPs in Parliament really don't want him to be the leader of the party. So there's a small minority of MPs who are sort of rebelling and having votes of no confidence that technically mean nothing to try and get rid of him. Everything's just collapsing.
Wow.
It's just, I've never seen anything like this ever. I never imagined this was possible.
Do you think that the big thing on the that's looming is, do you think that England goes into a recession?
Oh yeah, absolutely. That's going to happen without a doubt.
Yeah. And is that,
I have every faith that's going to happen.
And is that something that's going to, you think is going to happen soon or is
yeah.
that, it is?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And basically we had warnings about this. We have economists, we have bankers and people who know what can happen with financial markets. And they all said, don't leave. Everything will go to shit if we leave. And we all went, no, scaremongering. That's all people on the Leave side have said. Ah, you're scaremongering. I'm sick of that word as well.
Yeah.
And it turns out, no, they were exactly right. It turns out you don't get to be the governor of the Bank of England unless you actually know something about money and stuff. And when he said it would all go to shit, he was actually telling the truth. Who'd have thought? I don't know. It's crazy stuff. But people just ignored him. Say, yeah, you've got to say that. You're just doing whatever David Cameron says you should do. Like, he's not. He's the governor of the Bank of England. He's not affiliated with any political party. Listen to him.
Yeah, he's a fucking businessman.
And it just became a point where the bloke down the pub knew more about world economics than actual economists at universities and financial institutions. It was just all about emotion. No thought.
Wow.
No thought. And that's why you got all those people with Googling, what is the EU?
Yeah.
What happens if we leave the EU? There's loads of news clips of interviews with people on the street saying, yeah, I wish I'd voted the other way. I didn't really know what I was voting for.
Yeah.
Or I was trying to tell the government something or whatever. It's like, you fucking idiots. There was one question on the thing. Should we remain or leave? And it didn't say, do you want to leave, but really you're pissed off at the government because you've not got a job. That wasn't a box. And so I don't know. If anything, it's shown up that 52% of my countrymen are fucking stupid.
Oh, and that's a shame, right? The masses are asses. Like, you just see that and you just want to shake your head. You heard 49% of the people massive facepalm the next day.
Yeah. That was it.
Yeah.
There were no good reasons to leave. Not one, but chest beating. Take back our sovereignty.
Yeah. And
what does that even mean?
I
don't know what that means.
Well, that's look, I got to play these two clips because I want to talk about how this sounds oddly familiar to a certain gentleman in this country. But this is Nigel Farage addressing the EU Parliament, his first time addressing the EU Parliament after the vote. This is right in the beginning. This is incredible.
Good morning. Good morning. Funny, isn't it? Funny, isn't it? Thank you very much for that. Very warm welcome. How things have changed.
Eine Sekunde bitte. Sekunde bitte. Kolleginnen und Kollegen, eine große Qualität der Demokratie ist, dass man auch denen zuhört, deren Meinung man nicht teilt.
Well, thank you, Mr. Schulz. Isn't it funny? You know, when I came here 17 years ago and I said that I wanted to lead a campaign to get Britain to leave the European Union, you all laughed at me. Well, I have to say, you're not laughing now, are you?
This guy is a WWE villain. Like, he's,
yes, he is.
He's just grandstanding and mocking people as they're booing him relentlessly to the point where the president of the EU, or is he called the president? I don't even know. I'm whatever.
Yeah, there are five presidents. They're not presidents like Obama presidents.
Got it. Okay. So the president of the EU says, guys, listen, you know, he tries to calm everybody down and says, you know, we may not agree with him, but we have to hear him out. Like, this is a thing. Being diplomatic the way you should be as a leader of nations and peoples and all this stuff. And he then goes and just, oh, yeah, guess what? What's up, motherfuckers? Not laughing now, are you? Like, are you serious, man? And then he later, I don't have the clip for this, but later on in his speech, which was about 6 minutes, he rips into everybody in the room for never having a proper job in their entire lives. which again, the president has to come in and say, I think you're wrong on that, but okay, keep continue.
I love the delay you get with the translation that's going on, because you get a few seconds between him saying something that makes me gasp and them all in the room going, hey, hang on a minute.
Yeah. Harumph, harumph, harumph.
Harumph. he is actually a member of the European Parliament and has been for 17 years.
Yeah.
He's voted in by people in this country to represent them in the European Parliament. He gets money for his office and travel and house from the European Union. He is given, I think, there was something about, I think about $5,000 a week for personal bodyguards was paid for by the EU.
Wow.
For him. He just, his wife is French. Right?
This is amazing.
I know.
He's Trump's doppelganger. It's hilarious.
He's just full of shit.
Yeah.
So,
but then, and then the other thing I want to, this last clip I want to play is him basically telling the EU that they are in denial. This was the reason why the vote passed that to leave. This is his reasons.
The reason you're so angry has been perfectly clear from all the angry exchanges this morning. You, as a political project, are in denial. You're in denial that your currency is failing. You're in denial. Well, just look at the Mediterranean. No. As a policy to impose poverty on Greece and the rest of the Mediterranean, you've done very well. And you're in denial over Mrs. Merkel's call last year for as many people as possible to cross the Mediterranean into the European Union has led to massive divisions between countries and within countries. But the biggest problem you've got, and the reason, the main reason the United Kingdom voted the way that it did, is you have, by stealth, by deception, without ever telling the truth to the British or the rest of the peoples of Europe, you have imposed upon them a political union.
So, again, that little clip there of his speech is rife with exactly what we talked about before of the propaganda of immigrants are coming here taking our gerbs. And Not only that, this what you discussed before, as you know, I said the United States of Europe, and that's bad. That's, you know, that's a bad thing. That was that little last part of that speech that he said that they're doing that covertly in a very underhanded and devious way. I want to ask you first, is there any truth to that whatsoever?
No. There's absolutely no truth to that whatsoever.
Okay.
It's entirely in his head.
Got it.
And the head of anyone daft enough to believe him.
And the other part that he talked about was, which I think is the only part that really should have been divulged into a little bit, was the turmoil and the poverty of Greece. Now, that's something that, you know, a lot of people have forgotten about because it's you know, yesterday's news. I mean, shit, a couple of fucking assholes bombed an airport in Istanbul, and a lot of this stuff has gone on the back pages already. Which you know, it's just how it works nowadays with 24-hour news networks. But the utter turmoil that Greece is in currently, financially, economically, in your eyes, from what you know, because honestly, I don't know. Is the EU responsible at all for that?
No. I'm not entirely up on this, so anyone forgive me if I get any of this wrong. Greece had an economy that was entirely based on tourism.
Okay.
And as you know from being a citizen of the world for the last 10-15 years, tourism has been something that has been shaky given various events around the world. And so they found themselves in massive trouble. That's about as much as I'm really qualified to say.
Understood. Yeah, no, fair enough.
There is nothing that happened that would make any reasonable person think that steps were taken by the EU to make Greece poor.
Yeah, like somebody has to be the low person on the totem pole. Right, like they decided that somebody has to be the low person on the totem pole and Greece is going to be it. They're going to be the ones that we, you know, completely fuck, basically.
Yeah, no one decided that. It has happened.
Yeah.
Whether the EU as a group of countries could have done more to help Greece, I don't know. I'd have to know more about it.
Yeah.
But it's not something that factored in my thinking with our referendum. We were the world's fifth largest economy.
Mm.
What happened to Greece was never going to happen to us. It's just crazy to compare us. Really, and the fact that some people did is just, it shows the immaturity of the debate.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's something that, you know, people, well, it happened there, it can happen here. Yeah, well, not
yeah,
really.
Yeah, it can't.
Yeah, there are measures in place. Yeah, there are measures in place to kind of safeguard from that. Okay, so this brings it all to, because we're the fucking center of the goddamn universe, it brings it all back to America. Why Americans should be worried about this, and trust me, they should, because just as an American looking at this and looking at the, you know, he fucking said it himself, not within 30 seconds of it happening, the parallels of why England left the European Union and the massive attention that Donald Trump has been getting for the presidential race, which I can't believe I'm fucking saying that in the same fucking sentence.
I know, it's crazy, isn't it?
Oh God. It's there. I mean, it's there. It's absolutely there. And any idiot will realize that. He didn't do himself any favors by going to Scotland and telling them, "Hey, you took your country back."
Yeah.
Meanwhile, Scotland unanimously.
The woman with the sign.
Yeah, fantastic. Donald Trump's a cunt. It was perfect. Yeah. Right there. That was great. I fucking love Scotland, goddammit.
There was also a wonderful picture of somebody making his hair stand up with a balloon as he walked past.
Beautiful.
That was classic. Honestly, it was, for those two photos, it was worth him coming over. I'm fine with it.
But yeah, so the parallels are absolutely there, and that at its face value, that's one of the reasons why Americans should be worried about this, is because, you know, for anybody over here that's looking at this referendum vote and saying, hey, man, that's a great idea. We should do something similar like that. And hell, if this fucking walking Cheeto isn't going to be the person that brings us there. You know, that's fucking scary, first of all. That's something that Americans should be worried about. But, as it applies to global economics or just foreign relations, you know, anything, why should Americans be worried about this in your eyes?
The world is inherently less stable now.
Mm.
I mean, if you throw a rock in a pond, ripples go out.
Right.
And we're a big rock in the pond.
Yeah.
Albeit a little in size one. It's going to affect all kinds of things. It will just ripple through. In terms of international relations, I don't think there's going to be any negative change between the US and the UK. I don't see that happening. We're always pretty cool that one. If anyone in Europe hates us now, I totally get that.
But I'm sure
there are people in Europe who really want this to hurt us a lot.
Yeah, but I'm thinking in terms of that too, because you know it's like it's one big high school. It really is mm-hmm. where you know, oh, you guys are talking to England. Well, we don't really want to talk with you then. You know what I mean? Like I could see that happening. You could see something like that happening where, you know, France or Germany is pissed off at you guys, and then all of a sudden they're like, oh, wait, but Americans allies with them? Nah, fuck them too. I don't want to talk to them. I don't want to talk to Stacey until she apologizes. You know what I mean? Like, Jesus.
Yeah, I wouldn't worry too much about stuff like that. You're always going to be cool with the EU, and more so than us, because I don't know what's happening with the TTIP thing, the transatlantic trade thing.
Yeah.
Which was seen to be extraordinarily bad over here and was actually something that was used by the Leave campaign as a good reason to leave. And I think it's technically dead in the water anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So it's in the US's best interest to trade with the EU. They are now 27 countries all operating as one.
Mm-hmm.
No one's going to walk away from that. It's like 400 million people. We're the ones that are going to suffer.
Yeah.
Because, as Obama said, we'll go to the back of the queue. Do you know, that actually reminds me how far the conspiracy theories went here. When he said queue instead of line, everyone said, oh, Americans don't say queue, they say line. That means David Cameron told him exactly what words to say, and he said those exact words.
That's awesome. That's a great one. That's a great conspiracy theory. That
if it was his own words, he'd have said Britain will go to the back of the line.
Yeah.
He didn't. He said Q, and only British people say Q. You think? No, I think he was just like appreciating where in the world he is. And
yeah, no, thanks to
talking to somebody appropriately.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks to Netflix, it's now in our vocabulary. The Q is now in our vocabulary.
Exactly. So, but that's how far it went, honestly. To stuff like that. Did you hear about the pencils?
No.
The Leave campaign were saying, got to take a pen with you to vote with. Must vote in pen because pencil can be rubbed out. And they only have pencils at the voting booth. So they actually think that people are going to be rubbing out the votes for Leave and putting it in the Remain thing.
Wow.
To the point where somebody's found a bit of footage on Sky News that shows like someone doing a report to camera at one of the counting stations, and in the background, in the corner of the screen, it looks like a woman is rubbing something out and writing something down.
Oh, my
God. And they're like, look, proof.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable.
Yeah. So there were people outside the polling stations with pens going, got a voting pen. Go on. They can't rub it out.
That's fucking
Are you insane?
That's insane. That's insanity. But again, I don't want to talk about this guy. I really don't, because it's just.
Do you want to know more about Nigel Farage?
Oh God, well, it's the same fucking person. It's Donald Trump and his hate speech and his propaganda and his basically saying nothing. Now, you got a little bit of a leg up on us, because as much as Nigel Farage kind of fucked you guys, well, at least he can't be the goddamn prime minister at this point.
Yeah.
Whereas this motherfucker is a vote away, you know, a November Tuesday away from being the head of this country, which I know a lot of people think that doesn't really amount to much anymore, because, you know, you're really a will of your a puppet of your government below you. But guess what? He gets to put in a lot of people in that fucking government. And right now, nobody wants to deal with him. So, like, you know, I just read an article about the Republican National Convention. Nobody wants to speak at it. All the heavy hitters in the Republican Party don't want to speak at it. So he's now gone to, like, athletes and sports figures. And a lot of those people have said no. So now he's got people like Mike Tyson and Bobby Knight and, like, all of these other people to speak at a Republican National Convention. Are you fucking kidding me?
It's insane.
I'm not for nothing. I fucking love Mike Tyson, okay? His documentary, it's one of my favorites of all time. The Tyson documentary is one of my favorites of all time. I loved his fucking one-man show. I thought it was amazing. But you know what? He's not telling me who to fucking vote for.
It's just crazy. And you're right. It's the same stuff. It's all the chest beating, gonna make America great.
Yeah.
Just gonna do that. And he's tapping into the poor, angry white people.
Yeah.
And it just turned out we've got loads of those.
Yeah. Now, that's the one thing that I have a slimmer of hope, a sliver of hope about, is that statistically, we have a very larger populace that has a very more of a diverse background that can sway that vote, whether it's the Hispanics or fuck women. Dude, I think it's like 70% of women are like, nope, fuck this guy. You know, so that kind of stuff gives me a bit of hope. And the polling number says that he's, you know, down double digits and all this kind of shit. But Jesus Christ, it is a long way to November, dude. And every fucking day something happens that I look and I go, are you kidding? This is where we're going? Really? This is where we're going to fucking go? If that guy is elected president, I hate to tell anybody that's a fucking Trump supporter this, but if that guy's elected president, we're right behind Britain. We're right behind you guys in going into a recession, because that guy doesn't know how to run shit. He may be a goddamn billionaire, but he did so off of crooked fucking backdoor deals. And, you know, everything that he touched eventually turns to shit. It's fake gold. It's all it is.
Donald Trump's not rich.
No.
He's just got more money than you and me.
Right.
That there are so many people in America that if they woke up tomorrow and their bank balance was Donald Trump's bank balance, they would pass out with fear and shock.
Yeah.
You know, the number of people who work for Google alone who will have Donald Trump's money in their back pocket this afternoon is just crazy.
Right.
And that's just, you know, Mark Zuckerberg, for fuck's sake.
Yeah.
He's rich.
Yeah. Right.
Donald Trump is not rich. He's just got more money than me or your average American. That's all.
You're right.
And he's a blowhard. He's something these people do have in bucket loads is confidence and self-belief. Yeah. And that gets you a long way with people.
And now,
unfortunately.
And what's incredible is now that he's brought on a new campaign advisor and all the head of his campaign or whatever the title is, you see him now giving speeches with the teleprompters, and he's you know, cutting back on his Trumpisms slightly, although he can't fucking help himself because he's got a Twitter account. He can't help himself. But you know, it just seems, I don't understand how any person in their right mind doesn't see this guy placating to the audience now, reading from a teleprompter and trying to look presidential and not go, you're full of shit, man. Like, I don't understand how a normal, rational person can't see through this thinly veiled layer of bullshit that is just covering hate and just fucking bigotry and no financial sense and no foreign policy sense. Zero foreign policy sense. Again.
Oh, yeah.
He says to Scotland, good luck, you know, congratulations on taking your country back. And they all look at each other going, dude, we fucking voted to stay. I don't know what the, unanimously we voted to stay. You're an idiot. You know, like,
you notice no politicians went to meet him.
Of course not. Of course.
No one wants to meet him.
No,
that was just crazy. I mean, what is it? Cameron said something that Donald Trump was stupid and divisive. And Donald Trump said he should apologize. And David Cameron said, all right, you're not that divisive. That was what he said. Like, just, he didn't give it. No one likes him at all. You'll have seen the clips of Parliament discussing whether or not we should ban Trump from the UK.
Yes, I have.
And it's just person after person going, no, we're just going to take the piss out of this one.
Yeah.
He's a joke. And we all know he's a joke. And what staggers me is that we've been watching him for months, and there's no one here who would support Trump. We know what he is.
So even
and
the
yet
people
we failed to see what Nigel Farage and other people like him were, and even though they're exactly the same.
That's
thing.
Incredible. That is incredible. So even the people you're saying that even the people that voted to leave, 17 million strong. All look at Trump and go, no, that guy's a fucking idiot.
Yeah.
That is incredible. And that says something to my country and my population and a good percentage of people that go, this guy's the answer. Really? The answer to what? Is the answer
not,
to a question?
Not a good question. Yes.
What is he the answer to? I don't get it. I listen to him talk. Again, by no means am I voting for Hillary, by the way. I want to make this absolutely clear. I'm voting for Gary Johnson. I'm voting Libertarian because it's the only option that makes sense to me. I know this is cliche at this point. I don't necessarily trust Hillary. I never really did. But voting for fucking Trump, are you kidding? Like, oh well, yeah. if you don't vote for Hillary, then it's just a vote for Trump. No, I want to vote. I want to come out of the election booth. I rarely vote, and when I do, I want to come out with my soul intact. And that's,
of course,
yeah, and that's why I feel like, you know, I'm not throwing my vote away. I don't pay any mind to anybody that tells me that I'm not throwing my vote away. I'm voting with my conscience and not my, you know, not. Oh, where can I swing the points here? You know, oh, a vote for this guy is 2 points and minus for the other guy. No, I'm not doing that kind of strategic bullshit. I don't understand how relatively smart people that I know and I deal with on a day-to-day basis, family members, for fuck's sake, I don't understand how these people can look at Donald Trump and say, yep, well, nothing else is working. Might as well go with this fucker. Oh, you know what? Cool. Let's vote in Spider-Man. let's just vote in a fictional character then.
I mean, if it's any consolation, I mean, at least a presidency comes to an end.
True.
And that's the difference between that and the EU referendum.
Yeah.
If we're out, that is it forever.
Yeah.
We don't get to vote again on it in 5 years.
That's incredible.
And so it's just terrifying that this is happening.
Yeah, it is. It's terrifying that it's happening to you. It's terrifying that this could possibly happen to us. I'm, you know.
And you're now having the same situation on the left of politics, kind of like we are. I mean, it's a shame Bernie Sanders didn't do better. Because I thought he was awesome.
And that's who I voted for in the primaries. You know, I'll say that. I'll say that wholeheartedly. I voted for him in the primaries only because, again, he had a lot of and people had pointed this out. He had a lot of the same type of, you know, speech with no substance that Trump has, only on the other side of things. However, the dude's a fucking senator. I mean, he's been a senator for a while. He has the job. Like, he's got a record. Like, you can look at it and you can say, oh, okay, some of the stuff he's done has worked. Some of the stuff he's done has not worked. I'm sure, you know, he's a politician. He's a lifer politician. And to have a fucking game show host on the other side... makes me,
yeah,
you know what I mean, like the choice is clear. If you're angry and you want some change and you want, you know, form over substance at this point, without, you know, okay, you're in, now what's your plan? You know, if you want that, then to me, Sanders seemed like the obvious choice. But again,
I think he was very on the left.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I can see that America might not have been ready entirely for how on the left he is.
No, absolutely not.
And so it seems much more comfortable to have gone with Hillary, who, while still on the left, is a lot more establishment, old politician, business as usual on the left. And the Labour Party here are having that internally, that same argument that you've got Jeremy Corbyn, who is our Bernie Sanders. He's extremely old school Labour Party, left wing socialist.
Yeah.
Give the people their money and all that kind of thing. And the Labour Party MPs want to be more of the centre middle area to try and appeal to those voters. What they're not realizing is that all the people that have just destroyed us in the referendum are should be at the far left.
Yeah.
That's where the Labour Party should be. We do have a centre left party, that's the Liberal Democrat Party. And they destroyed themselves after the last general election by going into coalition with the Conservatives. But they are there to represent those people. Mm. It's, you know, we'll see what happens. I've got Guardian News live streaming past me as we're talking. And now apparently anti-Corbyn Labour MPs are investigating the legal ownership of the name Labour Party in case they can start their own one.
Oh, wow.
So by the time we have another general election, possibly by October, there might be even more political parties for us to vote for.
Oh, unbelievable.
I can't imagine this.
Yeah.
Ever happening. It's just insane.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm looking at something similar, although not as extreme, in that a lot of people are looking for a third party now. They're looking for a viable third party because they don't have faith in either one. I think it's kind of ridiculous that we only have two major parties, to be honest with you. But a lot of people are looking for a viable third party, and that is a good possibility of, you know, coming to the table, whether it's the Libertarians or the Green Party is another one, and God knows who else. I don't know if the Whigs are going to make a comeback. But it's crazy, man. I never expected. I when the start of this whole election season, which has gone on for fucking years at this point, started, I was like, okay, it's gonna be Bush Clinton, and that's because that's just the way it's just gonna go, and goddamn if we have to live with another fucking Bush or Clinton as the president for another 4 years, but whatever, like, you know, politics as usual, whatever. And then there was this grassroots uprising of, you know, we don't want the same old song and dance. We want something different. We want change. We want actual viable, you know, change.
Yeah.
And it is definitely got its legs underneath it, and it is out there, but it is just misdirected now in the most awful possible directions, where, you know, same thing, building a fucking wall on Mexico. Do you understand that logistically and financially that's impossible? It's fucking impossible.
It is just crazy, isn't it?
And just the terrain alone, it makes it impossible to build a fucking wall. That nobody is ever, you know, I mean, whatever. But
it plays up on that same fear of the other.
Yeah.
Fear of Mexicans. They're coming over here. They're going to ruin everything. They're rapists.
And it's their problem. And it's their fault. It's their fault you don't have a job. And it's their fault this is so expensive. And it's their fault that unemployment is the way it is or whatever. No, man. It's our fault. It's our fault. We did it to ourselves. And people don't want to take responsibility for their own fucking actions. It's infuriating. It's absolutely infuriating. And I'm losing my train of thought because I'm fucking pissed. I just think that, like you said, you know, the biggest danger and why Americans should worry about the EU referendum, I think, is to learn from its mistake. And from what you said is that no thought went into the vote. It was all emotion.
Yeah.
And I really think that that is something that, if anything, you guys maybe have set in motion for the rest of the world, is that when the time comes for you to make a decision that's going to impact millions of people the following day, do so with a bit of knowledge, because governments are scared. The governments are more scared of organized, well-informed public, of the well-informed public, than anything else on this entire planet.
Absolutely.
So go in with a little bit of knowledge, leave your emotion at the door, and figure out what's best for you and what's best for everybody else. If that's the only positive thing that you can take away from this, is that maybe, just maybe, you set that wheel in motion, which would be amazing, I think.
Yeah, that could be the only good thing that comes out of it.
All right, man.
I live in hope that it doesn't end up as bad as it could.
Yeah,
you know?
No, but you're right.
Only time will tell.
All right, man. I could talk to you about this stuff forever. There is so much to talk about. You know, not only just the implications, like you said, of like we talked about, of things going on today, but what could possibly come down the road. You know, the news is changing so rapidly now with everything that it's hard to keep up. But I'm glad that I got a chance to talk to you, to at least get, as I said, just a nice little opinion of somebody that's actually there in the trenches, that knows what's going on around them, and that has a very good head on their shoulders and a shred of empathy towards the rest of his population.
Yeah, well, you're very welcome. I enjoyed that a great deal. Anytime.
So thanks everybody for listening, and we'll be back next time at Masters of None. See you.
Don't forget to leave us a review and rating on iTunes, and join us on Facebook and Twitter at Masters of None. Masters of None is brought to you by Simply Syndicated, lubricated by Blue Point Beer, and streaming live on morelikeradio.com.
Check out the website mastersofnone.com. It includes episodes, news, articles, videos, pictures, so much fucking more, man. Check them out. Masters of None. Masters of a fucking excellent domain name, I'll tell you that right now. Father too many.
They had it. I think someone had it, and they were like, "We want that. We got to get it."
You think they had to buy it?
I would think, man. Like you said, that's a good name.
Once they got it, they were going way far back.
Maybe they saw that.
Maybe they got it. Maybe they got it way back.
How far back?
Way back.
How far are you gonna go back?
Way back, as we go around like this. All right, check them out. Mastersofnone.com.